Well, hey there. I'm Pastor Adrian. If you don't know me, or if you're new or visiting, we're glad you're here. Pastor Carey is away on his final day of vacation. If you remember what it's like on your final day of vacation, you know how he feels today, probably. But he did ask that I share one thing with you this morning before we get into the Word together. This weekend, you know, if you've been a part of our church family for a little while here, we're gearing up for a big weekend. We're calling it our Go Weekend. It's a weekend of different activities and events for all ages, but with the purpose of really just renewing our spiritual focus during what can be a busy season during the fall. And so you've already been invited. You'll hear a little bit more about that. But the weekend will be kicked off on Thursday night with a special concert that you've been hearing us promote. Paul Wilbur is coming. And so Pastor Carey just asked me to share this with you briefly. He says, I believe the worship event this Thursday with Messianic worship leader Paul Wilbur is ordained of God for our local church. My expectations are high and my optimism is over the top for this event because of the amazing grace of our God and His power and His presence, especially when His people come together and worship. We've taken a huge step of faith to offer this concert at no charge. You can secure your tickets for free online. We believe God will enable us on that evening to raise the expenses needed with a love offering. So come and worship. But also there'll be an opportunity for you to invest and to give a love offering. I believe we will experience the power of God, His holiness, His healing, His hope. God bless you, anticipating Pastor Carey. So that's his heart for you today. If he were here, he'd want to make sure that you're aware of that opportunity. We already have over 400 registered to come, but we want every seat to be filled because we believe every seat, every person matters to experience this event. So you'll hear more about that at the end of the service. But would you bow your heads with me this morning? Let's pray as we get into the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Whew, our God is able. And we are overwhelmed by that today, that there is nothing my God cannot do. And so if today we would come before you unsure of that truth, maybe we're laying something at your feet, we're not sure if you're able, I pray today you would prove faithful as you have proved time and time again. So we open your Word, give us ears to hear, hearts to receive what it is that you'd have for us today. We love you. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you today about a lady in my life named Carol. Now, that's an odd transition probably, but I'll tell you a little bit of the backstory here. I was in college at Eastern Nazarene College. I was a sophomore, and I was preparing to go on a mission trip my spring break. So it's a Christian college, and so they would offer different opportunities to serve. Specifically, this spring break trip was during our spring break week there in March. We would go and we would serve. And so there's a number of different students, 15 or 20 of us, that signed up to go. And I had done some opportunities to do some missions overseas and abroad throughout, even as a child, but as a teenager. But this is kind of my first opportunity as a college student to go. And so one of the requirements to go is you had to raise all the money. And I can't totally remember the amount. It was a lot of money to a college student, I can tell you that. It's a lot of money to me now, so whatever I am, right? So, but I had to commit to raise that. So I did what you do. You write support letters. And I know we have some students, middle school, high schoolers. You used to write a letter and put it in an envelope with a stamp. And you would write the address of the person you wanted that to go to, and you would put it in the mailbox. Now, I know we don't do, I was trying to be funny. No one's laughing. Great. Awkward. I'll cut the humor. I wrote letters. I physically wrote letters and mailed them to people through the post office, not just email or text, hey, yo, hit me up with a donation. No, it was a real letter. And I remember receiving back, one of my first letters was from Carol. Now, I didn't even really know Carol. I didn't send her a letter, but I get a letter back from Carol. And what happens, I sent a letter to my grandmother, Mills, my dad's mom, and I knew she didn't have a lot of money, but I knew she'd want to pray and she'd want to give something. And so you do what you do with your grandmother. You write them a letter. Well, one of my grandmother's best friends was Carol. And I remember Carol some from growing up. I grew up in kind of a bigger church, and she probably like pinched my cheeks and said, you're so cute. You know, that's all I remember of Carol. But on this day, I was overwhelmed. I opened up a letter from Carol, and out of the letter fell a check, and the amount of the check was more than what I needed for the trip. And she told me, she said, Adrian, your grandmother just shared your story. I wanted to write and to encourage you. My husband passed away just a few weeks ago, and he left me some money. I would like to bless you by sending you on this trip. And I was dumbfounded. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. And in fact, because of her gift and some of the other letters I got in, I was able to help pay for other people to go on this trip to go to Mexico. And I do remember that gift changed me. We've been in the midst of a series, a five-part series called The Gift. So if you've been here over the last couple weeks, we've talked a little bit about this idea of the gift and then how it changes us. What is our response? I began the series a few weeks ago talking about obedience and how sometimes my faith leaks, but I can truly obey God and trust Him. It's incredible. And in the week after, Pastor Carey talked about faith with the loaves and the fish and what happens when we take what we bring to God, even if we don't feel like we have much, and we bring it, and He uses it to do a miracle. And last week, if you were here, Brian Charette helped us understand a little bit more about what is the gift that we've been given through Jesus Christ. What is the gift that was poured out on our behalf? And so if you haven't heard those, I would highly recommend go online to abeaconofhope.org and listen, or Facebook Live. We have Facebook Live folks with us right now. Hi. Watch, catch up with where we've been. But today, I want to talk to you a little bit more of the response, because you see, in that moment with Carol, I responded. Now, there's some really unhealthy responses to that. I could have said, oh, Carol, thank you for this gift. I'll wash your car every time I'm home, and I'll cut your grass, and I'll weed your yard, and I'm a terrible cook, but I'll make you some dinner or something. And this Christmas, instead of a Christmas card, I'm going to get her a fruitcake. I'm going to upgrade the gift, you know, because she gave me a gift, so now I need to give her. Like, that would be a very unhealthy response, because Carol didn't give me a gift so that I would give her a gift. She just freely gave it. She wanted to bless me. She wanted to. So there are unhealthy responses to gifts. And so today, as we talk about the gift of Jesus, it's really hard to put that in like human form and understand what that gift would even mean. The gift Carol gave is just one example for me, but there are unhealthy responses that we can have. And I want to talk to you today about what a healthy response is, what I believe one right response is to the gift that we've been given. You see, the reality is, for believers, when we receive this gift, our response is much like Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 12. I have it for you on the screen, a popular passage of Scripture. But listen to what Paul says in response to the gift. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is how you respond. This is how you worship. You offer yourself. Here I am, Lord. I'm a living sacrifice. Now, those are strong words, but that is what Paul, who would be chained and imprisoned and ultimately beheaded for his faith, this is what he says is his response to what Jesus did for him. I'm going to give everything. That's my response. And so we as believers, we understand that as we respond to this gift, we desire to know Him more. We desire to grow. And if you're here today, and if you have a pulse, and you're not dead, He wants you to grow. You may say, I don't know how to grow anymore. Seek Him. He'll tell you. You have growing to do. You may be like brand new in your faith, and you just showed up here, and we are so glad that you're here, but He wants you to grow. Not because it's some obligated, like, oh, He gave me a gift, now I've got it. No, it's just a response. Like, Paul, I offer everything to you, God, because of all you've given to me. And practically speaking, in the church, we do this in a number of different ways. We establish some disciplines in our life, the discipline of prayer. Well, why do we pray? Is it because we have to? You have to pray? So no. It's because I love Him, and I realize what He's done for me, and I just want to talk to Him. I just want to tell Him what's on my heart. So I'm walking the dog, and I'm just mumbling, like, out loud. And everybody's looking like the crazy guy with the dog. You know, is he talking to the dog? Is he talking to himself? No, I'm actually praying, but it's just a discipline of, like, I'm worried about something, I'm thinking about my day, and I'm just telling God, like, this is what's on my heart. It's just a discipline. Or the discipline of studying His Word, of meditating on His truth for our lives. Like, it's a discipline. And why do we do that? Do we do that as some obligation? No, because we want to grow. We want Him to have more of us. We want to be a living sacrifice because of what He's done for us. It's a natural response. We serve others. That's a discipline. We find other people that are in need, and we want to serve them. Why? Because we want to grow, because that's God's desire for us. And today, I want to talk to you about a specific discipline. I don't think it's the most important. I'm not going to say that. But I think it's a critical discipline that we develop in our lives in response to the gift. and that's the discipline of tithing. Tithing. This morning, I'm not going to talk to you about giving. I believe in that. I'm not going to talk to you about generosity. And you today are sitting at a generous church. I mean, the people among you today are generous people. When we hear about a need and, oh, there's hurricanes, we got to do something. There's people in our community that need help. Well, we need to do something. We desire to be a church that is generous. But I'm not even talking to you today about this idea of generosity. I'm talking to you specifically today about the discipline of tithing. Now, if you're new or you're visiting with us today, this is not a topic that we talk about often. In fact, I'm fairly certain for the next year, we probably won't talk about it again. And if you are new or this isn't like home for you yet, you're kind of checking us out, please exhale, relax. We are so glad you're here today. And we just pray that this service is a gift to you and that you leave when you go home and you just say, God, thanks for allowing me to be there. But for those of you that are family today, for those of you that this church is your home and you kind of belong here, I want to ask some pretty critical questions of tithing. You may say, well, what is tithing? What does that word even mean? If you look in Leviticus chapter 27, this is the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. This is the Old Testament law. God sets before his people a form of worship. How will they worship him? A God that they can't see? And so he sets a series of what worship looks like. And one of the ways is this idea of tithe. Literally, in Hebrew, the word tithe means a tenth. And so in Leviticus 27, verse 30, this is what it says. God says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain or soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. This tithe, this 10% that is set aside and literally seen as sacred, this belongs to God. It would go on in the passage, if you read it. It talks not just about your fruit or your soil or your trees, but your livestock, your cattle, what you have, everything you have. We set aside a tithe that's holy to the Lord. Later, in the book of Malachi, in the Old Testament, literally, the prophet Malachi says that God says, test me in this tithing thing. Test me and see if I won't bless you. Test me and see that if this isn't so important in your life, that setting aside this 10%, this tenth for me, that I won't pour out blessing in your life because of it. Test me in that. Now, there's not a lot of things that God says test me in, but when the God of the universe, who created me, who could snap his fingers and be done with me, says to me, test me in this, I'm listening to that. I'm paying attention. I'm leaning in. So today I want to ask three questions of you. Three questions of me. I'm a question asker. That's not even the right verbiage, I think. But I ask questions. When Lauren and I were first dating, I've told this before, but I just asked a lot of questions. We went on our first date, and she didn't know it was a date, which, guys, I'm not going to give you a lot of love advice up here, but I'll just say, if it's the first date and she doesn't know it's the first date, you've probably done something wrong. So just free tip, free advice, take that one home with you. But anyway, after the first date and after we had dated a while, I think she knew by then I wanted to date her, she got me this book of questions, which was her way of saying, you ask a lot of these. And either here's some more fuel for the fire or whatever, but it's great. I ask a lot of questions. So today, as I was sitting where you are, thinking about you, thinking about those of you that maybe church is new to you, maybe you haven't grown up in the church, maybe you've grown up in the church your whole life, but this idea of tithing is just seems outdated to you. I just wanted to ask three questions. So the first question is the why question, right? If I were you sitting where you are listening to me, I would smile really big. Hey, no, I'm just kidding. I would ask, why? Why? Why tithing? Like, yeah, we know the Bible says it, but why? Why is this so, why a tenth? Why is this law that was set aside in the Torah thousands of years ago, why does it even matter today? That is a great question. And for that, we're going to turn in Matthew chapter 23. In just a moment, we'll read there if you want to turn in your copy of Scripture there to Matthew 23. But I believe in my life that every blessing, every good thing that I have in my life is from God. I can't prove that to you. I don't have. But literally, when I think about the good things in my life, when I think of my kids and they're healthy and beautiful and intelligent and funny and they're dancing in our kitchen, you know, like, hey, that's a gift. When I think of Lauren, who has loved me and walked with me and put up with, she is a gift. I think of the home that we live in or the car that breaks down. You know, it's a gift. everything in my life that's good, I can point to God and say, that's a gift. And if you don't believe me, that's what James chapter 1 says. He says in the book of James that every good and perfect gift we have is from him. And so those things in my life, and look, I know you worked really hard for your job and your promotion and the nice car and the mortgage, and but didn't he give you like the ability or the strength or the opportunity? Or I mean, in my life, anytime I try to backtrack on that, I realize like, wait, God, that really was you that did that. And so if that's true, if God's word is true today, that every good and perfect gift is from us, then everything in my life that's good and great is because of him. And so what is our response to the gift? It's tithing. It's tithing. Tithing makes three statements. As I know you're holding on to Matthew 23. I promise we'll get there. But when we tithe, we make three important statements in our life in response to the gift. The first statement we make is it's a statement of gratitude. Of God, I am grateful. When I look at every good and perfect gift that's in my life and I acknowledge that you gave those to me, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. When Carol and the check fell out, I was grateful for the gift. I didn't have words. I cried in my dorm room. You know, it was overwhelming to me. And when we think of the gift of what Jesus has done for us, at some point there should well up within us a gratitude. And tithing is one way that we say, Lord, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for what you've done. I'm grateful for your faithfulness. I'm grateful for the things in my life that are good that I don't deserve. And Lord, there's some things in my life that aren't good yet, but I choose to count my blessings and see all the things that are, and I say, Lord, I'm grateful. In tithing, setting aside the one-tenth of what he's given us is just one way that we say, Lord, I'm grateful. But it also makes another statement. The second statement it makes is a statement of priority. Because you see, tithing doesn't just say, Lord, I'm grateful, but tithing also says that, God, you're a priority in my life. This is the hard one for me. This is the hard one for me and for a lot of us because while I've always grown up kind of tithing, for me, money is when it gets real in my life. I mean, I'll obey God and I'll embarrass myself and I'll do dumb things, but oftentimes in my life, when God is asking me to obey him, the thing that holds me up is, God, how is this going to affect my finances? How am I going to pay for this, God? God, you know, we've got three kids and college and blah, 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 blah. I'm telling him like he doesn't know. He created them, you know, but God, how am I going to do this? And when I choose to tithe, I'm saying that he's the priority, that listening to him and obeying him first is more important than any doubt or reason or anything in my life now. But it also makes another statement, not just of gratitude, not just a priority, but it makes a statement of faith that, God, I don't just trust you today. I trust you for my future. I trust you to provide in the ways that I don't know yet, in the ways that I don't see. I can hold on to this. I can take every good and perfect gift you've given me and I can hoard them for myself, or I can realize that you're the giver of that and you're my priority and you're going to provide into the future. And this is the beautiful thing. Is this next slide, these statements tell us three other things. See, the statement of gratitude, that's our past, right? So when we tithe, we're saying, God, I acknowledge you in the past. I see how you've worked in the past. I thank you for your faithfulness in the past. And then the statement of priority says, God, I see you today. I acknowledge today. I make you Lord today. Over all, over everything, you're the most important thing. But then the statement of faith is kind of over here into the future. That, Lord, I don't just thank you for the past. I don't just set you first today. I'm trusting you to provide into the future. That's why we tithe. That's why we take 10%. Why 10%? We'll talk about that in a minute. But we take the first fruit of what God's given us, the first of what we have, and we give it back to him. There's no obligation in that. It's not because he's the mean old God staring down us saying, you better. No. He's given us everything. He's given us life. He's given us salvation. He's given the air that you just breathed. I dare you to take the next one for granted. Like, he gave you that breath. Your heart beating right now in your chest. Like, you can't make that happen on your own. It's a gift. And when we step back and realize how little we are and how great he is and how big, we start to think differently and we say, okay, Lord, I want to do this. I desire to respond in this way. Why? Because I'm grateful and I want you to be the priority and I have faith and trust you for my future. That's what tithing does. But there's another question today. There's another question that I think is really critical, and I think some of us ask. Maybe you've grown up in the church for a long time. Maybe you've kind of, like me, I've just tithed since I was a kid. That's what my dad told me to do, and I did it, and I think I believed in what I was doing, you know, but over time I understood more. But maybe you're like, isn't this kind of antiquated? Isn't this tithing thing outdated? I mean, we're living in the 21st century, Adrian. You just read something from Leviticus. They didn't have the internet then. I mean, good grief. Like, what are you talking about here? And in fact, there are actually some biblical scholars that want to argue that, that the tithing is an Old Testament thing and nothing in the New. Because Jesus, he says a lot about money. He says a lot about giving. But Jesus didn't, you know, stand on the Sermon on the Mount and say, you shall tithe unto the, you know, it's not there. So there would be those that would say that this tithing thing was great in Moses' day, but in today, that's not relevant. And I think it's a really good question. It's probably one that I've had many times. And so I want to help us. We're Matthew 23. You're already there, I think. I want to look at Matthew chapter 23. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he really begins to tell us that when he came, he didn't take the law, the Torah, the Old Testament set of guidelines and guidance for worship. He didn't take those things and do away with them. No, actually in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. I didn't come to do all the things that you've learned and just say, get rid of those. No, he came to kind of 2.0 it, to kind of build upon it. Like, and that's what he did. And all throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, yeah, you know not to murder, but now I want to tell you, don't act out in anger. You know that adultery is wrong, but now I'm telling you not to lust. See, he's taking the law that was in place, and he's showing us new life in the law. He's helping us to understand not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. And he does the same thing for tithing in Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew 23, Jesus is doing something that he does a little bit in the Gospels. He's letting the religious leaders hear it. I mean, he's going after them. I mean, he's being real. I read a little bit, I'm like, ooh, you want to lighten up a little bit, Jesus? That sounds harsh. But he is, in Matthew 23, if you want to read the whole chapter later, I mean, he's letting them have it. But I want to focus on this specific verse, and I have it on the screen behind me if you don't have it in front of you. It says this, this is Jesus talking to the religious leaders, the religious elite of the day. How horrible it will be for you, experts in Moses' teaching, and you Pharisees. You hypocrites, you give God 1/10 of your mint, of your dill, of your cumin. Am I saying that right? Cumin? I think so. Okay. But, look at what Jesus says, but you have neglected justice and mercy and faithfulness. These are the most important things in Moses' teaching. You should have done these things without neglecting the others. Jesus would go on in this passage to talk about these religious leaders. He goes on to call them whitewashed tombs. In other words, on the outside, they appear so good and so clean and so wonderful, but inside they're a tomb. What's inside a tomb? Death, decay, no life. And that's what he called these religious leaders. And you may say, well, what does that mean that they gave their mint and their dill? Like literally, these Pharisees were so good at obeying the law that they would say, you know what, we don't just tithe our money, we don't just tithe our, we take even the salt, the sea salt from our cabinet. Come here, 1/10, one more crystal, there we go. Yeah. Oh, the mint, yes, here's the mint, here's 10% of that too. I mean, can you, down to the, I mean, they are so proud in their religion that they've got it all together. They have crossed every T and dotted every I, and Jesus looks at them and says, you hypocrites, tithing, it's not about your money. It's not about your stuff. In fact, for some of us, that's what we've made it. And so we come and we're critical. Or right now, you feel kind of calloused towards what I'm even saying today. But the God of the universe doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. And in this moment, he encounters Pharisees that are all about the tithe, but they've neglected what was critical, and that was the heart. They've neglected justice and mercy and faithfulness. They are like whitewashed tombs that look the part, but inside their hearts are far from him. I think there are two groups of people today that this is really relevant for. I want to talk first to my group of people. I was a little boy and my dad taught me about tithing and I kind of understood, but I'm going to be honest, I was a little bit sad to give my $1 of my 10 away. And I was like, all right, God, I'm doing this for you. And as I grew up, though, I just had that discipline. And I understood more and more of the blessings God had given me. And so when Lauren and I got married, we just tithed. And this is not like, oh, Adrian, aren't you impressive? No, 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 I'm just saying, like, this is something I've done. But there are some of us in here today that as soon as I said tithing, you just relaxed, you know? You're like, oh, man, I've got this down. I'm good. But I want you to picture these Pharisees, because today God isn't interested in you just going through the motions of giving your tithe if he doesn't have your heart. He isn't interested in you just writing a check and putting it in the offering and say, oh, got that covered. He wants you. He wants your heart. And so for those of us that would think by going through some kind of religious motion that we have gotten God's approval, he would say to you, no, man, you're hypocrites. But there's another group in here today, and I kind of represent a generation and below that we love justice. We love mercy. We will march on the front lawns of Washington, D.C. to support causes that we believe in. And I love that about this generation. They're fearless. When they hear that there's 1 billion people in the world that don't have clean water, they're going to do something about it. And whatever they have to sacrifice and however reckless they might appear to us, they're going to do it. And they love justice and they love mercy. But in this passage, Jesus says, don't do these things while neglecting the other. In other words, don't get so caught up in justice and mercy that you forget that tithing is important too. And so there's a generation of us that we want to love people and we want to help people, but we want to withhold from God what is rightfully his, and that's the tithe. Because we make it all about justice and all about mercy, and we neglect what Jesus called us to do in the tithe. Look, he doesn't say, Jesus could have easily said, you should have done these things instead of tithing. He doesn't say that. He says, you should have done these things without neglecting the other. So to my generation, to middle schoolers, I'm talking to you today, to high schoolers, I'm saying, like, let's be about justice and let's be about love and let's be about compassion, but let's recognize that in that, we still want to commit to tithe, to give God what he deserves, because he's given us everything. He's given us everything. This morning, I want to talk to you about pie. Is that a good break for you, since I'm kicking everybody in the spiritual shins today? Okay, good. If you would like today after service, we'll pray over this and pray God multiplies it and we'll give out pie. No, we won't do that. That would be pretty cool. You could go to Costco for $5.99. You too could own a pumpkin pie. The lady that was giving samples on Thursday said that if you can't eat it all, you can freeze it and it keeps very well. So if you needed to know that today, that's another free tip. All kinds of free tips today for you. I want to talk to you today about pie, and these pies really represent giving for us. They really represent tithing for us. I want to talk to you a little bit about the different mentalities that we have when we give. This isn't a new concept to some of you, but in this pie, I'm going to try to show you without dumping it on the altar, you know? But this is what most pies at our home look like after a while. There was a pie here, you can tell that evidence, but I'm not sure if it's been fingers have grabbed or what's happened. It doesn't, almost looks unedible, you know, but this is what we call in our house the leftovers. Now, you know, in a really good pie, you're going for, you don't care. You don't care how it looks. Like, I remember, I was in college, I think, and I came back to visit, and there was a lady in our church that made, like, a really good cheesecake, and one of my sisters, like, dropped it face down on the floor, and without even saying anything, me and my siblings just grabbed a fork and started eating it off the floor, you know, like, this part didn't touch the ground yet. So I understand there's value in this little bit of pie. But this is how a lot of us give. We say, well, I've got a mortgage, and look, I got one. Amen, right? And cars, and, you know, some of you are planning for retirement. You've got 401k and things like that. And middle school students and high school students, you've got, you know, activities and stuff and fun stuff. You've got to eat a lot of places all over town. And you start driving, and you got to gas in the car. College students spend money on whatever you spend money on, you know, and you do that all around, and then come to the end of the pie, and you say, well, I'd like to be generous. I heard, you know, the hurricanes are going on, and I'd like to donate to, you know, to help them in crisis care kits. I'm going to do that, and I've got a neighbor down the street, and I know they're struggling. I want to be generous. I'm not mocking generosity. That's a good thing, so we take this little bit of pie, and then we say, well, last night I ate at Chick-fil-A. That's kind of like tithing because it's practically like church. They play Christian music without words there, so I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to come to church on Sunday, and whatever's left, God, that's yours. And literally, I've done this, not with my tithe, but just there's an offering, and I look. Lauren's like, did you bring any money? And I look, and there's like $2, and one of them has been ripped in half and taped back together, and I'm like, here, thanks God. You know, like, but a lot of us, that's how we give. And I mean, you're telling me in response to the God that gave everything for you, this is the best we can do? Like, God, I'm going to pay all my stuff, and I'm going to put in my future, and my kids, they're expensive. They got soccer stuff, and you know, and we got to do all this. And I'm not making light of that. I'm not belittling what you got on your plate. I'm just saying, when we come to the end and we give God our leftovers, do you think that honors him? You think he can bless that in our life? When we say, God, in light of everything you've given, in light of all my blessings, I'm going to return to you 1/14 and a half of what, you know, I don't even know. Like, this is obscure looking pie. Nobody, would you invite a guest to your table today after you got your Costco pie and you serve the pie to everyone, you get the last person, you're like, well, we've got whipped cream, you know, like what? Who would do that? But this is how we give. This is how we give. But I want to invite you into a different way of giving. And over here, I'm like, I've got a pie. Like, I almost dropped it for a service. And this is good stuff, but it's the whole pie. And it's good. And somebody's going to eat this later. It might be me, but this is good. But out of my pie, I've got one piece. And that's all I've given away. But it's my first piece. My first piece. And I don't know about you. You know, if you're sitting around the table, whoever gets the first piece, if that's like important to you or not, but I'm giving 1/10 of my pie. Look, there's a lot of pie left on here, but I'm just taking 1/10. I'm taking one and I'm saying, God, I want you to have it. I'm not just giving you my leftovers. I'm giving you my first before I pay the mortgage. And Lord, I'm going to need your help with that. And the car, you know, oh Lord Jesus, help me with the car. We pray over, you know, like all of that stuff. Even if I'm not even certain how it's going to work out, I say, Lord, you can have the first of my life. Why do I do that? Because I'm making a statement of gratitude. Because God, you've blessed me so much. Why wouldn't I give you the first? You're worthy of it, but I'm making you a priority in my life today. I'm saying, I'm not just going to give you the leftover pie of my life. No, 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 you're my priority, and I'm trusting you. I'm trusting. I can't do this alone, God. I'm trusting that by being faithful in you through tithing that you're going to bless me. And it may not even be financially. There might be other blessing that because I haven't obeyed you fully, I haven't experienced. But by obeying you fully in this area, I'm going to experience your blessing into the future. That's why we tithe. That's why this isn't an outdated concept that your grandparents need, but you don't. This is for all of us today. This is for all of us. I have one more question as we prepare to close. I do need to lick my finger. Thanks. My final question is, what if I can't? And listen, I want you to hear me today. I'm very aware that there's some of you in here today that have deep financial need and burden. I mean, you came today just heavy, just weary. And I'm not making light of that. This is not a get over it kind of message. I believe God cares about that today. I do. But you, some of you here today, you might be a middle schooler and you're like, I don't have money. I would just ask you to give what you have. The Lord doesn't want you to give what you don't have. We heard about that with the loaves and the fish, right? God isn't interested in what you don't have. He's just interested in what you have. So you may say today, well, Adrian, 10%? Do you really have to? I would say start with 5. Can you do that? And you say, why does it need to be a set amount? Because I believe that that's where we make a statement of gratitude and a statement of priority by not just saying, God, I'll give you what I can. I'll give you what I want. I'll give you what, but no, I'm gonna commit, Lord. This is the amount that I'm going to set aside and I'm trusting you. I'm putting faith in you because I can't do it on my own. Listen, in Mark chapter 12, Jesus commends the poor widow that came and gave and she was almost made fun of. Because her gift was so small, it was so little that it was less than a penny. And yet, many were coming and giving these large gifts. But Jesus commended her. And why? Because it says this in Mark 12, because those people gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. She gave everything. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. God doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. This church doesn't want your money. Nobody sent me up here saying, Adrian, we need the bottom line around here to improve, so get up there and give your best pie speech. You know, that's not it. It's not. And we make it about other things. Some of us make tithing about like tipping God. Oh man, that message shares was pretty good. I'm going to throw a little bit more in the plate this week. Or, oh, Pastor Jim came visit me in the hospital. I'm going to double my tip this week. You know, like what? Are you going to mock God in that way by making tithing about performance? Are you kidding me? Like, this is God, and this is why he says in Malachi 3, test me in this. Don't rob me of the tithe. And this is what I would say, and this is a hard word for you, for some of us that call this church family, that call this church home. But if the reason that you don't tithe is because you're too skeptical of a church, then why do you attend that church? This is what I would say. If you call this church home and you don't tithe because you're somehow skeptical of the ministry that we do here, or you don't believe in what we do, I pray that the Lord allows you to find a church where you do believe, because I want you to tithe. And if half of you don't show up next week, Pastor Carrie's going to be really mad at me. But I mean every word I said. Because listen, I want God to have your heart. I don't get the money. Like, who cares? But for me, my heart is attached to my wallet, because my wallet is almost the last thing that I surrender. My giving is almost the last thing that I hold on to and say, okay, God, I trust you with that. And so if you're at a place today where you say, oh, this church just wants, then pray. Ask the Lord for somewhere else where you can go, but you can tithe faithfully. Why? Because I don't want you to rob God. I want you to experience his blessing in your life. And if that's not here, I believe it will be somewhere, because this is too important for you. This is too important for us. Students that are listening, this is too important for your future, that you begin to establish a discipline where you say, God, you are my priority. So here's my tithe. Here's what I have. I believe God will bless it. That's not why we do it. We don't give to get. But every time that Lauren and I have tithed, every time we've been in a financial difficulty and we didn't even really talk about not tithing, but every time God has come through for us, he's been faithful. We may not have had everything we wanted, but man, we had what we needed. He has been faithful. So today, how about you? Where are you at in your response to God? Do you say, Lord, today I'm a living sacrifice. You can have all of me. You can have my heart. I'm not going to be a whitewashed tomb that just looks good, but inside my heart is far from you. He wants it all today. He wants it all. Today, I'm going to invite you to turn in your worship guide. This is not something that we do often. In fact, about once a year, we set aside time in our local church to talk about, typically, before this year, we've called it lordship. That's a phrase Pastor Carey uses a lot to talk about him being Lord of our lives, not just our finances, but our time and our talent and the things that we have and the things that we do, that he's Lord over all that. And we give him permission to use us and however he wants, and we practice obedience. And so this is the time of the year. And again, if you're new or visiting, this is the one time a year that we talk about this. And so we thank you for being here, and we ask that you'd come back and continue to journey with us and follow the Lord as you grow closer. But I'm going to ask you to take out what we call our covenant card. And if you didn't get a worship guide and you want one, we have cards available after the service here at the front. But at the top, there's a place for your name and your information. And then we just described three areas of giving. The first is what we've talked about today. It's our tithe. This is our obedience. This is saying, God, everything I have is yours, and I just want to be faithful to give the first slice of pie to you, God. I don't know how the rest is going to come out, but I've given you the first and trusting you with the rest. The next area is what we call our building fund. We're praying and believing that in 2 years, we're going to have this facility paid off. And you say, well, why does that matter? Because that allows us to do more ministry. That allows us to have more funds available to do more in this community and beyond. And I'm excited about that. And I know if you are, this is an area of offering. This is an area of giving above and beyond your tithe for those that are led. Some of you have been really faithful in this area, and we're grateful. We couldn't be here without you. Then there's missions. We help support over 700 Nazarene missionaries in 162 world areas. That's incredible. But our gifts, our offerings above and beyond our tithe, help keep those people on the ground, help provide the support that they need. And so if you turn over your card, again, we do this once a year where we ask you to take this and pray over it. I'm not asking you to fill it out now. I'm not asking you to turn it in the offering plate. I'm just asking you to take this home and pray. First option, I already tithe and keep trusting God by tithing. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Others would say, I'm going to pray about trusting God with more than 10%. I'm going to pray and allow him to speak to me. I or we will gladly begin tithing by January 1st. We try to allow you time to plan for that, to get through the holidays even if you need to, and say, okay, January 1st is my day that I'm doing this with God's help. Please pray that we'll trust God. You might be here and you're struggling with this, and I say thank you for showing up. Keep showing up. Please don't stop showing up and know that you are loved here and this is a safe place for you to continue to pray about trusting God in whatever way he would ask you to. And finally, we're going to test God by tithing for 90 days. And then there's places for the building fund and the missions, the offering above and beyond that if you would like to commit. And you say, Adrian, why do we do this? Why do we fill out a card? Well, this is our covenant with the Lord. And I don't see these. I don't. And in fact, the only thing that I'll know, or Pastor Carey, we'll just know how many came in. Only 12. Awesome. You know, like we want to know that people are responding. But we do use some of these numbers on the back to help our finance team know how to plan, how to project for giving in this year. But this is really our opportunity. Our pastors, our staff, all of us, our opportunity to say, Lord, we want to obey you. We don't want to miss your blessing. We don't want to just tithe and not give you our hearts, but part of giving our hearts to you, Lord, is giving you our tithe. This morning, if you feel pressure to give, don't give. Don't. That's not God's desire for you. He loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't want somebody that feels obligated to give. No. That's not what giving, that's obligation. And so pray. Now, the Holy Spirit will convict us. But if you feel guilty today and shame, I pray for you today that that's not, I don't believe that's of God. I don't believe that's his desire for you today. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads now, and Pastor Joe and Christy are coming to help us conclude. But I want to pray, this is personal. This is not an easy message this morning to share. But I pray this morning, you haven't heard a lot of me, but you've heard a lot of him, his power, his presence, his word, his truth for your life. Even if it's hard to receive, even if it forces you to wrestle a little bit with where you are today. And I do pray for all of us today that we wrestle a little bit, no matter where you are in your area of giving, that you would walk away today saying, Lord, I want to trust you with all. I don't want to ever withhold anything from you. So God, I pray for your people today, for my brothers and my sisters. Man, I love this church. I love the people that call this church home. I love the people that believe that we're not just called to make a difference here, but around the world. I'm so grateful, Lord. There are people today that have given sacrificially so that we could be here today, so that we could sit in this building, so that people could come and hear the message, the good news. There are people that have given sacrificially so that missionaries today are present around the world ministering to hundreds and thousands of people in every language and every tongue. There are people that have given sacrificially. Oh, Lord, I'm grateful. But Lord, as you send us into the future, we can't rely on yesterday, on yesterday's commitment. You're just asking us to pray and obey for today. And so, Lord, we make you the priority today. We tithe, we step forward in obedience because it's a statement of faith for the future. And I pray today for each person here that as they seek you, Lord, they will find you as they seek you with all their heart. Thank you for your message of freedom that's available to us today. We love you and we bless you in your name. Amen. Continue to worship and sing. Listen as Joe and Christy lead us in this song.
Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, be my life and lead.
For yours, Jesus, take my I will search for you. Let me be to you a sacrifice. And I will praise you, Lord. And I will sing of love come down. And I'll
take those cards that we talked about just a few minutes ago. Place them somewhere in your life where you have to see it a little bit. And just ask the Lord, Lord, show me. I believe you will. And I pray that we obey. We would be a church defined by our obedience. As we prepare to go today, there's a few things I want to make sure you're aware of, a few things to remind you of. We've already been speaking about the Paul Wilbur event this Thursday night. There's the website for tickets. I know that you would enjoy being here that evening, so please plan to come. Also, we have our weekend events for Go, opportunities for kids, for teenagers, for adults, all weekend. You'll want to be here for worship and to grow in the Word. So just whatever times you can get connected. We know fall's busy, but just pray and make that a priority. We have some invitation cards here and at the information desk. We have people right now that are heading to the well that would love to pray with you. Whatever need you may have today, we never want you to leave here and know or think that you can't have prayer with someone. There's always someone willing to pray with you. And so if you stop by the well today, somebody would love to be there and agree with you in prayer. We have a gift for you if you are new or visiting. Thanks for being here. We're really grateful for the gift of your presence, and we have a gift for you today. We'd love to give you on your way out the door. And finally, every Monday night, Celebrate Recovery happens here. We'd love to invite you. If you have a habit, a hurt, or a hang-up, it's a place where you can find healing and hope and restoration. Father, I pray over your people today, over your sons and your daughters, these precious ones, Lord, that you have died for. You've redeemed them. You've called them by name. You've written their name on the palm of your hands. I pray, Lord, that we can't get away from that gift. It changes us. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've given. You have been faithful, Lord. Even when we don't acknowledge you as the source of those gifts, Lord, you have blessed us. And today, I just pray that we would leave here encouraged, challenged, seeking you, Lord, in a new way. We love you, and we are so grateful for this day that you've given us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. You are dismissed.